What Steve asked me to do is just to share real briefly and leave a while for sharing and prayer. So that's what I want to do. I want to read, first of all, from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, just a few verses there. John 14, verses 11 through 14. First, Jesus is speaking. This is from the discourse in the upper room just before he died on the cross. Starting at verse 11 of chapter 14. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Then I want to turn over to the 16th chapter and read a few verses there. Starting with verse 23. Sure, this is right in the middle of a thought, but I think we can do that. And in that day you will ask me no questions. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will speak no more to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. Prayer is such a vast subject that we can just scratch the surface, really. I'm sure that some of the biggest books in any theological library are those on prayer. And the reason that this is so is that everything that the Bible teaches has something to do with prayer. And prayer is such an important part of spiritual living that everything that we think and do needs to be prayed about. Everything that we believe, everything that we read in Scripture, I'm sure that you find yourself doing that. I do. In reading Scripture, you pray the Scripture, don't you? Prayer is so practical that it is a part of It's a part of everything that we do as Christians. And so that's why it's inexhaustible. We can only mention two or three things tonight about prayer, principles of prayer. The first one that I would mention is that the first principle of prayer is that prayer is effective only to believers in Jesus Christ. That's the first principle of prayer. The first and most important condition of answered prayer is faith in the Savior. This is why Jesus over and over again said, "Ask in my name." John 16:24 is one of the first scriptures that I ever memorized. I was led to the Lord in a Christian businessmen's servicemen's center down in Long Beach, California, and I got in contact with the Navigator group, right away. And they pressed this little packet in my hand, four verses, and one of the first verses that I ever memorized was John 16:24. And it says, King James Version says, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Before now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. The Lord wants us to ask in his name. What does that mean? In his name means that we must present our request through Jesus Christ as our mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." In other words, the only way anyone can enter God's presence is by faith in the Savior. This is the first principle. The only one God hears is the one who has accepted forgiveness from God and has their sins cleansed in the blood of Calvary. The only one that can expect God to answer prayer is the one who comes in the way God has planned. That is, believing, reconciled to fellowship with God, and a new creation by God's power, a child of God by faith. That's the first principle. To pray in Jesus' name does not mean merely to tack these words on the end of your conversation with God, but it means to have no other hope that God will hear and grant the request other than the fact that Jesus died for us. Jesus died for me. And on that basis, on the basis of his work in my behalf, God has invited me to come to his throne, and he's invited you. So that is the first principle. I would say the second principle of answered prayer is a yielded life to God's will. The heart cry of every true prayer is the words of Jesus, "Not my will, but thine be done." The Apostle Paul said that he died daily to his own will and said yes to God. "That's not my will, but thine." Prayer has been compared to the technique of golfing. Good golfer aims to make his body swing with the force of gravity. And that's what we do when we pray. We seek to put ourselves in rhythm with the Spirit of God. The one who truly prays yields into God's power, and we pray. This is what Romans 8:26 is talking about when it says, "The Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with unutterable longings." So prayer, the second principle is, prayer is yielding to God. And third, I would say, a principle of prayer is that we must come with a willingness to be cleansed by God's power. The scripture teaches that if we behold iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. Sin is crippling and destructive. But a new cleansing is available to us each time we come into God's presence. Thank God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession means to say the same thing God says. Did you know that? And when we see our sins and failures from God's point of view, we want to turn from them and not let them stand between us and the Lord. 1 John 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I to you, that you sin not. Turn away from sin. That is a principle of answered prayer. The scripture says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God wants us to live a life on a higher plane than we did before we came to believe in Jesus. And it is His power that makes a righteous life possible. Jesus emphasized that if we would have our prayers answered, we must not be guilty of holding grudges against other people. He said, when you think of something like that, when you're in the place of prayer, go, straighten it out, and then come back. Mark 11:25 also says, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also may forgive your trespasses. Another, and this is the last one that I'll mention, another condition of answered prayer is keep on asking. Keep on praying. Jesus taught us by many examples and illustrations that, as He said, men ought always to pray. We ought to make it a habit to pray. The hymn is true when it says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. One of my favorite scriptures is the one in the book of James that says, you have not because you ask not. I find it hard to pray. I find it difficult because the busyness of life presses in and makes it so easy to postpone that time of prayer. But God wants to teach all of us to pray, to ask, to praise Him, to realize that it is a great privilege to release His power in our world. And that's what happens when we pray. God has ordained that this be the means of releasing His power in lives and in places around the world. So I hope that these simple thoughts might help us as we come to Him now and call upon Him for a few minutes of praise, thanksgiving, and asking Him for the needs that He has made us conscious of. In which the relativity
of man is considered absolute, in which the absolute of God. I'd like to ask Gordon.